Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host in crime, Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, it's good to see you.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Good to see you as well. I am week two of somewhat sicky baby and getting the wife back into tip-top health here, but we're going a little bit better than last year. Yeah, it felt like a year.
Yeah, right. Get that.
No, it's going a lot better this week. Obviously some rest and making sure everybody's back to health has kind of helped out. So yeah.
Right.
Going
That's awesome.
Trending in the right direction.
That is good. That's always a good thing. We like trending. We like trending in the right direction.
Speaking of trending.
Oh yeah. No. What
are
you
we?
Got?
Are we on? Are we do? Are we in this podcast March Madness tournament?
Oh,
by the way.
Oh yeah, the March Madness podcast bracket thing. Who puts that on? Hold on, I just searched
for
that.
Dead Man Walking podcast.
Oh, Dead Man Walking podcast. Yeah. They do the. Like the podcast March Madness every year. And we're in it this year, aren't we?
Yeah. And really, how he did this is not the greatest.
Oh, no. Who are we up against?
He did one through 10 ratings.
Okay.
And then he randomized everybody else.
Oh, no. Oh,
so
no. Are we up against some behemoth? Are we up against,
I think we're
like,
up against
like The Briefing?
No, we're not up against them. I think we're up against a Moscow guy. I don't know.
Oh, no, really? Are we really?
So,
dude, their people always come out in droves.
Let's see who
are we
like,
against? Hold
you're not like,
I found it.
Yeah.
Who are we against? Okay, the Reformatory Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're number 60 out of how many are here?
I don't know. That's
Hold
the
on.
Other good question.
We're number we're seed 60 out of, is it 65?
No, it can't be 65.
That's what 64.
We're dead last.
Dude, I'm seeing we're seed 60 going against number 5.
Oh, come
we're
on.
We're seed 60
ridiculous.
Going against number 5. He has us going against Theology Pugcast. I don't know. I haven't heard of that one. And then if for some reason we pull the upset of the century.
Dude, I saw the next.
We're most likely going to be going up against my man Justin at Theocast. I'm going to have to send
John and Justin
a text and be like, dude. Hey, man, no hard feelings, but why don't you do us all a favor and forfeit this one?
Please put us out of our misery for crying
He's
out
got
loud.
Us at seed 60. You know what? I'd expect nothing less. We are
the boutique podcast. We are the podcast for the people. We don't got all the shiny things. We don't got all the money. You know, Jack, you know who we are? We are the Cleveland Browns of this bracket. That's who we are, baby. Everyone wrote us off. They wrote us off. Everyone wrote us off.
You never know, dude.
It could happen. I'm just saying.
To go back to your country, man, we are the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. That's true.
No one was expecting them to do nothing this year. And Jordan Love came out with the fire.
Smoked all right. the Cowboys well, at home.
I don't know when we are going to. It looks like we're pretty far down the list. So it's going to be a little while till our bracket comes up. Dude, and also, like, random thing. You know what? You know what staring at this bracket gave me vibes of?
What?
Wrestling.
It did.
Like, dude, like, looking at this thing, man. I'm like looking at, I got the little twinge of anxiety where I'm like, okay, when am I up? How long do I have? Am I in the hole? Yes. Am I on deck? Am I in the hole? How long till my match? Do I have time to go in the locker room and throw up because of my anxiety?
Apparently, all of that is done through like an app now on your phone.
Really?
Like, it is all, my dad, who still coaches wrestling, it's all digitized now.
Wow. Like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I felt like there was always this nostalgia of hearing your name, and then you get closer and closer, and it kind of builds.
Oh, it does. Oh, 100% you know? Does. Yeah, absolutely.
But
all right, people. Well, I don't know when our bout, if you will, our match is going to show up, but when it does, we're going to share it out. Our small boutique family, go out and vote your hearts out. Vote your hearts out. Who knows? David might take down Goliath. The Reformatory might take down the Pugcast. They're seated number 5, dude. He's got us at 60, and we're going up against 5. I see how it is. Who does he have at number? Okay, he's got Cross Politic at number 2.
Jeez.
Who does he have at number 1? I'm curious. The dividing line. Okay.
Yeah, give me a break.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fine. Anyway, Jack, we have a little bit of the business before we get into the business.
Yeah.
Because we have a patron. We have an individual who has decided to join the ranks of the Podluck, and therefore their name is about to be hallowed.
Hallowed.
We are welcoming Lo-Fi Cody.
Mercy.
Lo-Fi Cody. I love the name.
Dude.
I love the name.
Sounds like a very dystopian name.
It does. I mean, I'm assuming Cody likes lo-fi, as in low fidelity music, like the little beats, you know, the little background beats, you know, that you'll play sometimes when you go to sleep. But Lo-Fi Cody, my friend, you have joined the ranks of the Podluck, and people, you should join suit. Join Lo-Fi Cody and countless others in joining the Podluck. Get your exclusive content, get access to video content and stuff like that early, get episodes early, join our Reformatory chat in which we share all manner of fun things. Join Lo-Fi Cody and have all the rights given thereunto as well. So Lo-Fi Cody, we thank you, sir. We salute you, sir. And with that, Jack, his name has been hallowed.
It's been hallowed, sir.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. Our pledge is fulfilled. My friend Jack, before we get into our topic, why don't you please, short and sweet, because we're already 7 minutes in.
Mercy.
Give us the Reformatory Cigar of the Week. New month, new month. Cigar. What do we got?
New
Jack?
Line. New month, new cigar brands. Here we go. New company. That company, friends, is my father. So March is for my father. We brought this out to the patrons last week, exclusive.
Yep.
And I promised them to rate and review the My Father, the Judge Grand Robusto. This is probably one of the first, maybe, My Fathers that I smoked. Mm-hmm. And boy, let me tell you something. You gotta mentally prepare yourself when you start to smoke this thing.
Yeah.
Because it will literally judge you.
The name is all you need to know.
It will judge you so hard. It is a, the size is a grande. Basically, it's a 60 gauge by 5 inch cigar. The filler is Nicaraguan.
The binder is Nicaraguan. The wrapper is Ecuadorian. And of what Cigar Aficionado says, it kind of has a soft box press. And so they kind of soft box press this as well, too. It kind of looks like a chocolate bar, not going to lie. Yep. It definitely has that. And it tastes like one, too, of as they, has notes of cocoa, coffee, caramel, nuts. And then you also have some red pepper for kind of like a toastier finish. Friends, this is a very strong cigar. This is like...
Not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, this is a very strong cigar. So if that's something up your alley, then by all means, please do so. This has been constantly rated within the 92 to 93 range since, I think since the cigar came out, which was, I think, in 2018, if I'm not mistaken. MSRP is $12 to $13.50 for this cigar. So $12, anywhere between $12 to $13.50. That's kind of what you're looking at as far as pricing goes. Friends, this is a very good cigar. This is probably like the dark horse cigar. When you have nothing else to go to as far as like, what am I going to smoke today? You know that there's going to be my father on in the humidor, usually, most of the time. And you know that the judge is probably going to be there just waiting to like render some judgment on you. I don't know. I'm trying to make up something cheesy and corny.
So. I like it. No, no, I like it. It works.
Anyway.
You're doing good.
But yeah.
That is it. All right, man.
But anyways, that's it. It's a really good cigar. Really strong. Marches from my father. So
there it is.
Let's go.
The Judge by My Father, my friends. That is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week. And you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So, my friend, we've got some shenanigans to get to. There's always shenanigans. Always shenanigans happening. You know, whether, you know, Facebook and Instagram are down, you know, there's always shenanigans in the multiverse. And by the multiverse, we mean the metaverse. And sometimes that just means X. So, Jack, my friend, you sent me a couple days ago a screenshot of a tweet that you said, we have to talk about this on the Reformatory Pod. So I'm just going to throw it over to you, my friend, as the instigator of today's topic. Set us up, read us the tweet, and then let's hop into it.
Yeah. So this is a
Jack's like, I don't even know where to begin on this.
So let's just go with the fact that So this is a guy that I know. The guy who reposted this is a guy that I know. And it's just like, okay. He kind of did the whole quote of like Vadi Bakum, if you can't say amen, then you need to say ouch.
And I love
like,
that quote.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like okay. So the guy who's tweeting says, Pastor.
What's the guy's name again? I forget who tweeted this out.
Anthony, it's public. He put it out. Anthony Dial or die or something like that. D-I-E-H-L.
Okay. So, All right. What did Tony say? Let's call him Tony. Good old Tony.
So the gist of it is basically, so I'll get into this. So he says, Pastor, here's a hard truth. If you're 100 pounds overweight, young men aren't going to take you seriously when you preach about discipline and self-control. When you tell them not to be mastered by wine, they wonder why you're mastered by church potlucks. When you preach to them about controlling their lusts, they will wonder why you can't control what you put in your face. You don't have to like it, but I'm right and you know it. Wow, such humbleness, such humility.
Hey, this guy sounds fun at potlucks.
Perhaps a valuable thing you can do is for you to minister perhaps a valuable thing you can do for your ministry effectiveness is to join the gym and lead by example. So,
okay.
That is the tweet.
Okay. All right. Spicy.
Yeah.
Spicy. All right. Okay. Well, I definitely have some thoughts. So I think this tweet, Jack, just my initial thoughts on this, suffers from what most, if not all, hot takes on the internet suffer from, and that is a classic case of blanket statementing, if we can coin that phrase, right?
Yeah.
So right off the bat, not even engaging in the content of the tweet yet, that tweet was obviously tweeted out in a moment of passion.
Sure.
And was worded and phrased in a way to gain attention, to elicit a response, and to stir the
them gummy worms.
Yeah,
stir that's
right.
them gummy worms. People,
Rustle
we're
the gummy
bringing
worms,
it out.
Man.
We're rustling okay. them.
There is a way to communicate what Tony, we're calling him Tony. What Tony decided to communicate, there's a way to communicate that in a way that shows, I would say, maturity, discernment, and love for the individual. And Tony did not do that. So right off the bat, how it's phrased, I have an issue with that.
Sure. I have several other underlying things that are a little bit deeper than just the surface level
okay.
content.
Get into them. Get into them.
Okay. So this is a huge thing that's been going back and forth, I would say now, for the last 20, 30, maybe even 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's a couple philosophical ideas that are floating around bigger reformed evangelical circles that we really don't think about, but they're there.
Sure.
One of them is Christian hedonism,
okay.
which is kind of spearheaded by John Piper,
yeah,
which is
I remember that.
Basically like joy, joy, joy. You need to go for joy, maximum joy, you know,
maximum joy,
maximum joy. Right.
Yeah.
And the other one seems to be this kind of cannibalized stoicism, I'll say.
Okay.
From, I feel like a lot of guys have been saying, well, that Christian hedonism has put us in a place of being quote unquote soft or
okay.
quote unquote, put in whatever you want, like not being men. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another side where stoicism is very much about discipline. The writings of Marcus Aurelius, who could have killed Christians. The word's really out on that. There's debate that he did or did not. So the writings of Marcus Aurelius, you have other Stoics, modern day Stoics like Jocko Willink, like Joe Rogan, like Jordan Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
You have all of these guys, the four horsemen of Stoicism, so to say, I'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
You have them that are pushing more discipline, more mastery of oneself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely on that side of that field.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
This is
sure.
very much a Christian Stoic take
yeah.
on something that he deems is kind of quote unquote not disciplined, or you're
sure.
not following scripture.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Or you're not being a good witness by being overweight or by doing this or that.
Yeah.
And I would say that Christian hedonism and Christian stoicism have been at odds against each other for the last 40 years-ish,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're going back and forth of, are you going to live out joy, and are you going to operate in this joyful way to the Lord
mm-hmm.
and glory to God, or are you going to operate out of mastery and out of discipline and out mm-hmm. of basically that kind of dynamic that's going on there?
Right.
So when you have people that come out of different denominations into maybe a more reformed understanding of the faith,
mm-hmm.
they probably will rebel against what was seen as not good, right?
Mm.
So you have people that may have been Southern Baptists that were very focused, or maybe even this sounds not more Southern Baptist. This more sounds like fundamentalism or independent Baptist churches,
which are
fundamentalists.
Well, yeah, which is ironic because I mean, how do I say this graciously? Like, as a fellow big guy, like, the independent fundamentalist Baptist denomination is not known for their CrossFitters. I'll say it as graciously as I can. Like, yeah, again, we're just calling spades here. Like, we all struggle with stuff, right? And you know, we're going to get into that. But yeah, it is a very, I agree. It is a very fundamentalist, like, do this in order to be seen a certain way or else kind of mentality.
Yeah. I feel like this kind of tweet took out maybe not. I am just speculating at this point. He may mm-hmm. have been in a IBC church. He may be in a church that was very focused on you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do this, but food is on the table. Anything food wise is on the table, which I get. I've been around in those circles before, and yes, people should not judge people because, you know, they casually have a drink in moderation, but yet they can't literally stop themselves from eating, and they have type 2 diabetes because of this, right?
Sure.
So it's the same kind of scale, but to say that a pastor is deemed maybe unqualified.
Right.
Because he may be going through a weight fluctuation. You don't know what he's going through. Mm-hmm. To say that he's disqualified because of that and maybe that alone from preaching on those things, which honestly, a lot of the time, this even goes back to our other conversation. Like, are you going through the text? Because this would equate to topical preaching, I feel like.
Sure.
Because most of the texts of scripture are not going to hit on food laws unless you're in a certain part of the Bible.
Right, or you're in Timothy where it's talking about...
Or you're in Paul, or he's talking about food laws and stuff like that, right? Or you're in the Judaizers and everything along those lines, right? Mm-hmm. So that begs another question. The other question, too, is that this is a very cultural message to our modern day. Because in the ancient world, you have to remember, the bigger the guy... Probably the richer he was.
The fat belongs to the Lord, as the Old Testament says.
So you gotta think about the Herods of the day.
That's right.
I mean, they're probably big boys. Let's be honest about that.
More than
and
likely.
They were because they were rich.
Right.
So this is a very cultural message.
Which again is not a justification. We're just saying that it's a cultural thing that existed. Yeah,
I'm not justifying anything. I'm just saying that you have to suss out the intricacies of what he says, because over time, this message is not like carte blanche across the board.
Yeah. As always, Jack bring in the church history into it, which is something I really like about Jack, because he's much more knowledgeable in that than I am. So I'll come at it from this angle. And it's going to be different than Jack, although we agree it's just a different angle. And look, this is coming from a guy. Look, all cards on the table here. Okay. Like, let's be real with each other. Right. Yeah. I'm a big guy.
Yeah.
Like, do I like that I'm a big guy? No, I don't. Is it something that I fight against? Yes, it is. Is it something that I am content with, just like, this is just the way that God made me and I'm just going to... No, I'm not. Like, that. It's not something that I am just content with sitting in, right?
Yeah.
It is true. Now, again, to be fair with this tweet, it is true that for some reason in the American church, gluttony, which is a sin, is something that is often overlooked when it comes to sins that we speak on, because I think it is a very Americanized sin that has become culturally acceptable, right? And this is someone who struggles with that sin. Again, nothing that I say here is me pointing the finger at anybody but myself. So I want you guys, I want our listeners to understand that. While I critique this tweet, I understand that I am I am who this guy is talking to. Like, fully understand. Okay. Here's some issues that I have. Okay. First off, like Jack already kind of alluded to, tweets like this really do show the issue that we have, I think, especially in Reformed culture, of looking at the outside person as the barometer for spiritual health and fitness for ministry. Okay. Now, is that to say that we completely disregard what we see on the outside? No, that's not what I'm saying at all, right?
Yeah.
But if I see someone who is overweight, right, my first assumption should not be, oh, they are completely disqualified for the ministry. I think that is an ungracious and unbiblical take, because there is so much to what makes a person qualified or disqualified in Scripture that we can't just – I think it would be unwise just to be like, oh, this person struggles with their weight, therefore they are barred from pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a wise place to stand. And that's kind of like what this tweet is calling out, right? I would say this too. Multiple things can be held as true. And often we as Christians need to have the discernment and wisdom to hold multiple things as true. In this instance, meaning you can simultaneously struggle against something while at the same time be able to speak against that thing. I reject the notion of this tweet that I have to have a sin mastered before I can speak against it. Because if we're going to look into the qualifications of an elder, Timothy and Titus, right?
Yeah.
They should be not a lover of money, right? They should be not quick-tempered, right? They should be hospitable, right? Like we have all of these qualifications that are there. Nowhere in Scripture does it call the man that is called to ministry to be a master, to have all of those down and to not struggle with any of them before he enters into the pulpit, okay? Like, we understand that those who are called into the ministry are still sinners. They still struggle. They're still going to struggle with the sins often that are in that list of disqualification. Now, obviously, there are, you know, sins that are more instantly, I would say, disqualifying than the nuts. If a man cheats on his wife, that's going to be more instantly disqualifying than if he loses his temper with somebody, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to those things, we have to have discernment. And is this person's life marked by these things, right? Are they just content in sitting and struggling with these things without any attempt whatsoever to change it or to come in line more with, you know, with Scripture, right? Mm-hmm. So I believe, Jack, that it sets a very bad precedent that we have to be a master of something before we can speak against it.
Yeah.
And
that's the danger of what I see in going to these two extremes, like I talked about, mm-hmm. these two philosophical extremes. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be, quite honest, balanced with how you view things. You cannot be so Christian stoic mm-hmm. that you basically ridicule and demonize the Christian hedonists. Mm-hmm. And you can't be so Christian hedonist to the point where you criticize and demonize the Christian Stoic, mm-hmm. so to say. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a good balance of that. And I feel like right now it doesn't help because our culture is very polarized. It is very partisan. You're either on this team or that team. There's no tension. You can't hold tension, which honestly, most of our lives as Christians in this world, in this country, in any form or facet of life, there's going to be tension.
Yeah.
And if you cannot deal with that tension and kind of navigate that, then mm-hmm. it's easy to become partisan.
Right.
Because you don't have tension.
Yeah.
You just have absolutes.
So. Yeah. Well, and look, the job of a pastor, at least in kind of the modern day context, is one that often can be a very sedentary job. Okay, let's just be real. Let's have real talk here, right? There's a lot of pastors that struggle with their weight because the job is often much more intellectual than it is physical. It's much more relational than it is physical. Okay. Yeah. So with that type of reality, that's just the way that it is, you're going to struggle with some things more than others. Okay. So we have to realize the context that we're in. Now again, that doesn't mean that we make excuses. Again, I'm not making excuses for the things that I struggle with. But to just come flat out and to make a tweet like that without, I would say, doing the necessary work of having the discussion about everything that contributes to it, right? And how we can best care for those individuals and encourage them to become more healthy, to maybe drop some pounds. Like, yeah, maybe join a gym. I mean, I joined a gym. Like, I work out with guys at my church, and it's been good for me. And the job that I have is often very physical, and it's been good for me. Right. And I've realized that, like, yeah, like it's a healthy thing. So it's not something that I am content with being mastered by. Right. We're not called to be mastered by anything. Right. So we do have a responsibility as not just as those that are in ministry, I would say just as Christians, to not be mastered by anything, whether it be your lust or your gluttony. Don't be mastered by it. Be fighting against it. Right. Be actively taking steps against your flesh so that we can be, you know, generally both spiritually and physically healthy. Those are good things to do. But tweets like this, like, let's just put it this way, right? Obviously, you know, looking at the guy that made this tweet, you know, he's a very fit guy, right? You're not gonna hear something like that, I think, from a guy that's overweight, right? It makes sense that it would come from a guy who believes that he has mastered it, right? Let's just say that this tweet came from someone who was overweight, right? I am so much more concerned with the content and of that tweet and the way that it was said, mm-hmm. versus the fact that the person who said it might be overweight. Now, does that mean that I don't care that they're overweight? No, it doesn't. But our conduct, right? It's the outflow of our heart is so important, especially when talking about these. And honestly, if we're going to take this tweet and follow it, I would say, Jack, that if you're the type of person who can't take advice from someone because you have deemed that they haven't mastered that thing themselves, it says a lot more about your pride than the person you're refusing to listen to. I just think that that's the reality, because I feel like I should be able to learn things from people who might not have mastered the thing that they're talking about, but I can still be encouraged and I can still be used by the Holy Spirit to be an encouragement in someone's life and to help someone in that, right? I can talk about the need for to fight against pride or to fight against, you know, self-reliance, even though I have not mastered that. Yeah. But I know that we need to be fighting against that and relying more on Christ. I shouldn't wait until I have mastered it to speak on it. So I don't know, man, like those are just some thoughts that I have. And again, that's just coming from someone that, like, I know I struggle with it. I know I struggle with going to food for comfort, right? Or a stress reliever or things like that. But it's not something that I am agreeing to be mastered by. And I don't think I'm disqualified to speak against self-control or to speak for self-control simply because I do lack it in some ways. Like, you know, it's not about my strength. It's about the reliance on Christ at the end of the day. And I think that's kind of something that that's a point the tweet's missing.
Yeah. There's so I found this guy's actual Twitter profile. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to share some more tweets because this question is legitimacy at this point. Let's be honest. People, we have to have some exclusive content here.
And okay.
We got to talk about some stuff.
We're putting it behind the paywall. Behind the paywall. Yeah. So anyway, Jack, that's probably enough airtime to, you know, a tweet like this. But at the end of the day, like, let's not be mastered by anything. Let's admit our faults, right? It's good to call out sin, gluttony, lust, anger, selfishness, whatever it is. Let's fight against it. But don't fall into the trap of thinking that you have to master it before you can preach on it, or that you can't listen to somebody until they've mastered it. Like, both are stems from pride, I think.
Well, I mean, let's be honest about this. Like, I think where the gospel comes in play is very important. So for maybe a fitter guy like this, would you even listen to Jesus? Mm. Jesus did not master a deadlift of 500 pounds. Are you going to still listen to him?
Yeah.
There's endless possibilities that open up Pandora's box.
It does call into question what the line is, right? Like, I mean, he even put a number on it. That's another thing. He said 100 pounds overweight. Right. And I know he would say, well, that's just an example. But, you know, when you have that kind of standard, though, like when that's kind of the standard you're going with, it automatically turns into a self standard. So you say 100. Another guy says 75. Another guy says, you know, well, it's like 120, like, which is right. You know, and that's the problem with tweets like this, is it automatically puts it into the realm of like self authority. And
sure,
that never helps anybody. So, yeah. All right, Jack. Well, my friend, why don't you get us out of here? And I'm going to go.
We'll go talk about some exclusive.
We'll go talk some exclusive content, and then I'll probably actually go hit the gym, because I was already going to do that before I recorded. Just to be clear, I'm not doing it because he tells me to. I'm doing it because I want to.
Got him, dude. Got him.
Oh, gosh. All right. Get us out of here, Jack.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempt at trying to put a little bit more robust, nuanced views on things that matter
robust,
in your local...
Hefty. A little husky. Hey, baby.
If you appreciate what we do in making the local church central to the believer's life here on the Reformatory, you can follow us on the different sociables, if you will, the Facebook, the Metaverse, the Instagram goes well with chocolate marshmallow, and yes, that nasty little sociable, the sociable formerly known as Twitter, that is now X. Mm. Yes, you can follow us at Reformatory Pod, at those tags, at those sociables. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might view our ugly mugs and judge us even more on different platforms and support us in other different ways.
It's true. It's true. If you feel like judging us even more than you already do, you can head on.
You want to judge us while you smoke a judge.
Oh, good callback. Good callback. Smoke the judge while judging. It's the greatest experience you'll ever have. You can head on over to YouTube. We do have a YouTube. That's where we release the video portion of this podcast. All of our new upcoming video content that we have already released to patrons. It'll be coming soon. And that's where we're going to be putting it, right up there, right on YouTube. So head on over there and get some of that. Give us a like, like, comment, subscribe, or ring the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. Share the podcast with a friend. We'd really appreciate that. And you can rate this podcast on Apple and Spotify. We would greatly appreciate that as well. Last but not least, join the Patreon, just like Lo-Fi Cody. Lo-Fi. Mm. Join the Patreon. Do it for yourself. Do it for you. Give yourself a treat. It's $5 a month. That's all it is. $5 a month. You get multiple bonus episodes, exclusive content to video, video content. You get the Reformatory chat. You get a bunch of cool stuff. It's a fun time. It's a good time hanging out with folks. So join all the hundreds and hundreds, Jack. It's an army. It's not really, but you know, it feels like it is.
There are dozens of us.
There are
Josh.
Dozens of us. Join the Reformatory Podluck, and our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed
through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of the Reformatory.